Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
What happens if the parent themselves is super afraid and triggered by dentists? Like, what happens when you're the parent who I know hates the dentist, is terrified, can't deal with the sounds? What do you do?
That's hard.
Let's be honest.
Because kids will come in all the time with these preconceptions from their parents. And they'll be like a cooperative patient for cleanings. They come in for a filling and they're crying. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, why are you upset? My mommy said I was going to get a shot and it's going to hurt. I'm like, thanks, Mom. So sometimes the best thing is to not say anything at all or ask the dentist first, how should I prepare my child? The best thing is to not say too much and give your child a fair start.
Welcome back, everybody, to Katie's Crib. I feel like I am the most famous person in the world right now. The fact that I have these two guests that we're about to have on today, because if you're a mom in the Valley of Los Angeles, I'm talking Studio City, Sherman Oaks, Toluca Lake, there's a good chance that your dentist is probably, possibly Dr. Jill and Dr. Michael Lasky. They're our guests today. If you're listening and you are not in the Los Angeles area and you have no idea who these two infamous dentists are, you're going to know and you're going to be so grateful. I feel like having little kids, everyone is constantly asking me, like, when do they have to go to the dentist? How do we get them to brush their teeth? How do they get to floss? What happens when they have 8,000 cavities? Because guess what? Albie had 9 and had to get put under, but we're going to get into all that. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Jill and Dr. Michael Lasky. They are partners in both business and life. 3 years after meeting through their mutual dental school professor, they were married and started practicing together at the Lasky Pediatric Dental Group. Dr. Jill and Michael believe it's important to care for their young patients and their families like they are part of their own extended family. As parents to two boys, they believe everyone who enters their pediatric dental office should not only receive exceptional oral health care, but more importantly, be treated with kindness, compassion, and respect. Their professional goals are to help young patients develop confidence in treatment and to instill in them healthy dental habits that last a lifetime. Their personal goals are to make a positive impact on their community and create a healthy work-life balance. Dr. Jill and Michael Lasky, welcome to Katie's Crib. Oh my goodness, I am so excited. I have wanted to do an episode about pediatric dentistry since I started this thing.
Really?
We are in season 6. Oh, <wow. laughs> My son had 9 cavities by the age of 4.5. So I want it to be known here that I don't give him too much sugar. No, I'm kidding. It's not about that. It's not about that. First and foremost, when does a child first go to the dentist?
First time a child should go to the dentist is about when they're 1 year old. Because about that time, they're starting to walk. And that's when trauma happens. That's when falls happen. And honestly, it's really important for parents to have a dental home, a place where they could go. Because pediatricians are wonderful. They learn so much in the 4 years that they go to school. But they get about 5 minutes about teeth. And the mouth bleeds a lot. And it is scary. And it is petrifying. And you do not want to be like scrambling, trying to figure out what to do when your baby's mouth is gushing blood. So really, that's one of the main reasons. Secondarily, I think it's important to like know how to take care of their teeth, what's best for their nutrition because they're adding more and more solids. But really feeling comfortable and having a dental home is key. So about one is best, at least for the first child. The second child, you know, things become more relaxed. And the third, you're giving toothbrush by himself. And a lot of things too, parents have these misconceptions that if they push, then their kids are never going to want to brush their teeth. And honestly, I give the example all the time that I don't know about you, but my boys are not liking their tushes cleaned, but you didn't leave it dirty. I tell parents, it's all the same hole, mouth to tush.
That is a great way to look at it.
Right?
It's like we're not letting our kids walk around here with not pristinely cleaned bottoms.
Correct.
And we're going to let them get away with not fully brushing.
Right.
Taking care of their oral hygiene. That's a very great way to put it. And Dr. Michael, what when you first see a one-year-old that might have one tooth, two teeth, some I'm sure come in with a lot more teeth, what does the dental care look like for a little one?
Right. Okay. First off, so going back to the first visit, usually the important thing is not cleaning their teeth at age one. Because like you said, they may only have one, two, four, five teeth. It's more important to have the conversation with the parent as far as how to take care of the teeth, what to expect, answer any questions, what kind of toothpaste to use at that age. So it's more of an informational visit than actual cleaning visit of their teeth.
For example, I had friends that used toothbrushes, friends that used gauze or a washcloth, you know what I mean, while they were in the bath,
right,
instead of making it a whole thing. Here's a really scary question, Dr. Jill Lasky, since you brought it up first. What is the ratio, you'd say, of how many little ones come in with knocked out teeth?
Kids get bumped. They get bumped, even little ones. I would say about 50% of kids have a gray or yellow or discolored front tooth. I would definitely say that. And I'd say a large percent has little edges that are, the edges are chipped a little bit. Yeah, and it didn't have to be like some big trauma. It could have just, you know, playing with a sibling or tottering around and bumped and it hit more their knee, but their face hit it for a second. Yeah, there's lots of little micro traumas along the way that can make the teeth discolored. And parents think that they're dead and they're not necessarily dead. Most of the time, they're just bruised.
My son knocked his tooth in COVID on a, he fell off the couch, his tooth hit a fire truck and wha-bam, that's the gray tooth. I'm so pumped it's loose right now.
Yeah.
And he's all upset. He's like, the tooth fairy's going to know it's my gray tooth. I'm like, it's okay.
It's okay. Just brush it extra. Yeah.
And I tell him that. Oh, yeah, man, yeah. I threaten that tooth fairy like nobody's business. I'm like, she's coming soon. You better check yourself. And then your name is brought up in my household all the time because I lie constantly. I'm like, the Dr. Lasky appointment's coming up. You're going to really
work it. Oh, for sure. Yeah, here we're very popular.
We're very famous.
Yeah, between 5 and 7 every night, we're very popular. Yeah.
And very much brought up in everyone's bathroom.
Exactly, exactly.
How often is it recommended that children visit the dentist? Is it the same as adults? Is it like an every 6 month thing?
Correct, yes, just like an adult, every 6 months.
What is the best way for parents to understand that consistency helps a child to brush their teeth, but Okay, everyone needs to get honest with themselves. I feel like the parents are the best role models to their kids. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like we teach modeling all the time. So if your kids see you flossing and they see you brushing before bed and all that kind of stuff. So someone called my husband. He skips nights a lot. Look at Michael and Jill just shocked. I just outed my husband. He's so upset. But is that true? Like, parents listening, you better get your act together?
Modeling, is a big thing. And kids see what their parents do. So it's hard to say one thing and do another. Do as I say, not do as I do. And it's hard to expect your child to brush their teeth twice a day if you're not doing it. Definitely. And a lot of times at that age, parents might brush with their child.
Correct.
At the same time to show them how to brush properly. And it gets the child into brushing more.
With that being said, is that you mentioned, is like, this is one time in life where quantity matters more than quality. So it is more important for you to make sure that you're brushing your kid's teeth for 5 seconds every night than like two or three good brushes a week. You're making the connection right now in their little brains that like getting ready for bed, pajamas, bathroom, bath, like la-di-la-di-la-di, all of that goes and brushing is incorporated in that.
Right. This is a routine that you never leave behind in the
Correct.
Morning or at night.
Correct.
For us, if it helps anyone listening, we literally have their toothpaste and toothbrushes all over our house because I think it's such a pain in the butt. I'm in a ranch style house, so it's long. And sometimes when we're getting out of the house almost and if someone's having a meltdown and I just want to get them out, but their toothbrush is all the way in their bathroom, you know, on the other side of the house, I'm like, forget it. Look, these are the ones that are at the kitchen sink. I mean, right, I don't even know if that's disgusting that we're spittling in there, but I just need to get it done, you know, or it's in this other bathroom. Following up to what you were talking about, Michael, brushing with them, modeling all of the routine themselves. What happens if the parent themselves is super afraid and triggered by dentists? Like, what happens when you're the parent who I know hates the dentist, is terrified, can't deal with the sounds? What do you do?
That's hard.
No, because you're fucked.
Because kids will come in all the time with these preconceptions from their parents, and they'll be like, cooperative patient for cleanings. They come in for a filling and they're crying. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, why are you upset? My mommy said I was going to get a shot and it's going to hurt. I'm like, thanks, mom. So now you got to undo all that without lying to the child because they probably will be getting a shot possibly. So sometimes the best thing is to not say anything at all or ask the dentist first, how should I prepare my child? But it's hard when a parent is scared to not portray those fears onto your child. And sometimes it's just a look. They don't have to say anything, but that scared look on their face is like, oh my gosh, with their eyes, and the child can sense it.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to be calm, but it's the best thing is to not say too much and give your child a fair start.
Just don't say anything at all and let them, they don't know Correct. Showing up that it's a bad thing.
Correct.
Correct.
If it's a great pediatric dentist's office, they may get a toy, a Right. cool toothbrush or a flavorful bubblegum tasting toothpaste. Something
Yeah.
awesome. If a child needs work done in their mouth, follow up to that question, what do you suggest is the way we tell them?
I personally avoid the C word. Cavity has a really negative connotation. And you don't know if it's from an older sibling, somebody from school. So we kind of like to say it's like a little dirty spot. You're going to come back for this different toothbrush. I mean, again, like what Michael had mentioned, we're not lying to them. We're just framing it in a way that seems a little bit more gentle to them. It doesn't seem as scary. Yeah, another toothbrush. Like usually if you found a cavity in x-ray, that picture you took was great, but there was a little more dirt. So we're going to sweep it out and then we're going to paint it and color it and draw something on it or, you know, kind of make it that way. And then I tell the parents, don't say anything else. And then if they do ask at home, instead of lying, like Michael mentioned, you just say, let's just ask Dr. Lasky. Let's see what Dr. Jill says, or let the dental professionals explain it to your child. And then you're not putting your foot in your mouth.
This is going to seem like a controversial question, but it's in here. So somebody wanted to know the answer. How do we know if a kid needs work done that it's not like a scam?
Oh, yeah.
This has never happened to me in my life because I've gone to only like word of mouth, the most like reputable doctors and dentists. But there are a lot of moms listening who I'm sure go somewhere. Someone says there's like a million things. It costs this much money. Like, is this something that is true that we need to be conscious about?
I always tell parents, you know, if you want a second opinion, by all means, go. It's hard because you want to trust the doctor, but as a lay person, you don't know what's going on. It's almost like taking your car to the mechanic. So very often find cavities in between the teeth on an x-ray. They're not visible to the naked eye. So you look in a child's mouth, the teeth look perfectly white and clean. You don't see any decay, any holes, any black spots, whatever. But there could be 8, 9, 10 cavities present. So I'll always pull up the x-rays and show the parent. You see this dark spot right here, and explain to them what's going on. Because it's definitely hard to absorb, understand, or, you know, relate to. Oh my gosh, how come my kid has 8 cavities all of a sudden at one time?
Especially if you didn't take the first time taking x-rays, like he said. So I think that kind of like in with everything in life, you need to go with your instinct, go with your parent gut, and then ask questions. And you should have the right to get those questions answered before anything is done.
Love this. So that segues perfectly into my son's 9 cavities between all of his back teeth. How many cavities is too many? What's a shocker? Because I was fucking shocked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had 1 cavity in my whole life. My husband's had a ton, which there is some genetics that comes into play here. Can you explain why this happened?
So a lot of it is genetics. So to get a cavity, you need 3 things. A tooth, a sugar source, which is any carbohydrate, bread, fresh fruit, candy. It does not make a difference. And you need the bacteria that causes the cavities. And that's the part you can't control. So if you have a very high level of the cavity-causing bacteria, you'll get lots of cavities in your lifetime, or cavities. If you don't have the bacteria, you won't get the cavities. And you can't control that, and you don't know it ahead of time.
So for I've never had a cavity. I'm 51.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, so right, you've had one. No. But it's not because I'm not the best brusher or flosser or had the best diet my whole life. And this is a perfect example. Our younger son, the toothbrush, not his best friend. He's 17 now, so it's kicking in. But let me tell you.
I love that you're honest. I love that you're
all the time. And let me tell you, never had a cavity. So he has mommy spit. And I always tell parents, like, this is one time in life. It's always the sibling who has the best home care that gets all the cavities. And it's the one that barely brushes who doesn't. So I tell parents, this is the first lesson in their little lives that fair is not equal. Sometimes it's a lot out of your control. And then the ones that have the bacteria have to work extra hard, right, to make sure that they have to fight it.
And where does this bacteria picked up? Is it from a fork, a kiss?
Right, yeah.
What is it?
So there's different theories, but what I've been told is that it's physically transferred from person to person, like you would catch a cold. And then once your body accepts the bacteria, you're set for life. Not in my interpretation, I don't know how much this is based on science, but my interpretation is everyone might be exposed to it, but certain people may not be able to reproduce it. For example, oldest child might come home sick with the flu. Sometimes everyone gets sick. Sometimes only one other person in the family gets sick. Not every time every person will get sick. So I think it's the same kind of a concept where not everyone who is exposed to it will then keep it and keep reproducing in their body.
Yeah. But there are things that help fight it, but there's a window of infectivity between 0 and 3. Where you're more prone to actually acquiring the bacteria. So your child, if they need braces, what their jaw looks like, the shape of their teeth, that's how your genetics of the parents mix. But really, you can acquire the bacteria not only from a blood relative, but from outside primary caregiver, from, like you'd mentioned, blowing on food, giving kisses, sharing
water bottles, all that kind of stuff.
So the best way to fight that is to make sure the adults have taken care of all of their decay. They don't have active decay in their mouth, because the more active decay, then that higher the bacteria levels are. I know, it's kind of...
Ew! I know. Oh, active decay, that sounds so gross.
I know.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira hybrid mattress, named best hybrid mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I know this is a big one for, I think, American Academy of Pediatrics. Bottles in the bed, or like bottling and not brushing your teeth after. Like, is that just like sugar on the teeth and it's bad news bears?
Everything at night sits. So that's the longest time where you're not like drinking water or talking or moving your tongue around.
Right.
So breast milk, formula, I mean, it's sweet. So it has a lot of bacteria.
Sugar in it and bacteria.
Right.
Got it.
Right. So it sits on your tongue, and then the tongue hits the back of the front teeth. And that's usually where those first cavities happen for most kids.
So let me tell you guys, when Albie got the nice nine cavity sitch, and everyone joked about my mothering and the amount of sugar he'd had and all that. Now, he definitely likes sugar, but not any more or less than all the other kids. So whatever. He got the shit end of the deal.
Right, exactly.
Of his death. But our experience that I want to share with our listeners, because it was the best choice for us. I have a lot of friends whose kids have had some cavities, and the kids totally went and sat for it and maybe did some laughing gas and were cool. I showed up. We tried. We sat. We started, and Albie literally flew off the chair at just the taste of whatever lotion. The topical anesthetic, which was step one of 100, sent him through the roof of like, I don't like it, I don't like it, and just like losing his mind. Dr. Lasky was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do four today, and that he's ever coming back here again in a month to do the other four. He would be a perfect candidate to do this all under anesthesia and do it one time. And of course, I was like almost in tears and was terrified to put my child under. And I have to say, I'm so grateful that you held my hand, because my son has no recollection of it. I have the recollection of him going under and being like, that was really scary, and just sitting and pacing outside of your office with another mom whose kid had 10 cavities who was right before him, and we were sort of holding each other's hands. But what's the gift was, is that he does not have any bad memory. When we bring up your name, he has no fear attached to that experience, because to him, he walked in, he fell asleep within a minute, and he was up and it was over. You know, the whole thing was an hour and we were home and he was at school the next day. Who is a candidate for something like this option versus, no, you know what? You're a different age. He was 4.5 when this happens, which is, that's really little, in my opinion. When do you suggest something like this? When should a parent advocate for something like this versus going the old school route? What are your, any advice here?
So if a child will sit in a chair and be cooperative enough to get started, always try in the chair first, just because there's always a risk to anesthesia and putting a child to sleep, and most parents don't want to do it. So it's never our first step go-to. But for some children who just absolutely can't do it, you don't have any other choice. So the candidate is perfect. It's like your son who like freaked out for the littlest thing. And then you got to do, like you said, step one of 100, you know, and I'll try and tell the parents, like, we can get through this. It's not going to be fun for anybody. You're going to have to hold your child down. You're going to be crying at the end because your child's crying.
Yeah, everyone's
I won't
crying.
Be able to do a good job because I'm trying to wrestle with their kid and fill their teeth at the same time and say, great, we're done. Now I can come back and do round two or round three. And then the child doesn't want to get out of the car.
Nobody wants to do that. That sounds terrible. And my son has sensory, like he freaks out when you brush his hair. He's had a bee sting and it was like the world ended. It was phenomenal.
One of the reasons why I wanted pediatrics was because I really wanted to make sure that kids are comfortable taking care of their bodies. Because the habits you learn as a child will take you through the rest of your life. So if you're not petrified of going, and that's why you gave your son the gift of having his dental work done while he was asleep, so then he won't be scared to take care of his teeth later. So then things won't snowball, right? Because avoidance is that's when you have problems with most things in life, your teeth or any other part of your body.
Is there anything else we can do to prevent yellow adult teeth as baby teeth fall out? You mentioned on your YouTube channel that parents should not use teeth whitening products. Dr. Jill, what do you think about that?
Okay. So adult teeth are innately more yellow than baby teeth. And it is so unfair. Baby teeth are like toilet bowl white, right? And then adult teeth are not. They come in looking extra yellow because here you have white teeth. You have the contrast, right? So you have really white and then you have something that looks yellow. The yellow is going to look even more yellow than it does.
I'm so glad I know this in advance. Yeah.
So then a full mouth of the same color teeth doesn't look as bad. And then also it depends like, you know, your complexion. If you're more fair skinned, they're going to look more yellow. So unless you're going to walk around with red lipstick on, I mean, it's going to be hard to make the baby teeth look really white.
But we should not be using whitening products on children.
Because it's not going to help because they're not suffering from coffee stain, all those kind of things that would make the extrinsic stain. So that's what the grittiness of the whitening toothpaste does. So that's not really what their issue is.
Right. It just looks more yellow because that is what they are. And it's standing next to white baby teeth.
Exactly.
Or gray baby teeth in my child's.
Exactly. But hopefully that's only one or two. And that's,
That's one or two.
Right. So it is really normal to have yellowish adult teeth, but they look extra yellow because they're next to the porcelain white teeth.
You know, I've seen a lot of scooter incidents, trampoline incidents. I mean, of my friends that I can think of, I have four that have knocked out teeth. So I know this is more common than we would like to admit. Do you always pull the tooth? What's the deal? What can we expect a little bit?
So if it's a baby tooth that gets knocked completely out, then it goes to the tooth fairy, right? You cannot put it back in, just leave it out. You're done. That's it. And you just treat the after pain, right? Tylenol, Motrin if you need it, and everything should be fine. If a tooth is displaced, so it's not knocked out, but it's loose and like kind of pushed forward, pulled backwards or something. And if it's a baby tooth, then you want to call your dentist and come in. And usually what we'll do is we'll reposition the tooth, put it back in the right spot, put a little wire on it, like braces, to stabilize it, like a cast if you were to break your arm, for example.
Sure.
And you leave the splint on for 3 weeks, take it off, and the tooth solidifies, and it usually heals, and it should be fine. It's always the possibility that the nerve can die from that, but that's secondary a little bit later down the road. But you are able to save the teeth if it's still in the mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Permanent tooth. If that gets knocked out, you want to put it back into the socket. ASAP, every second does count. So if you're at the baseball field or wherever you happen to be, pick it up off the ground. Don't clean it too much. Just stick it back in the socket and then get straight to a dentist.
Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? I don't know if I can do that. I can't.
Tell about the lake.
All right. We had a patient who was on a lake in Bakersfield getting towed behind a boat, one of those little tubi thingamajiggies. And they're bouncing around on the waves.
Yeah.
Not a wakeboard. Yeah. It was in a raft.
On a tube. On a tube. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Behind. Yeah. Right? Like a
bouncing around. Yep. Her knee hit her face and knocked out her tooth. Her tooth landed on her lap in the tube.
In the whole lake.
On the whole lake. So they had the tooth.
Oh my God.
They called me right away. I said, put it in her mouth, just get it back into the socket. They did. They drove all the way back to LA from Bakersfield,
which is like a few hours. This is not around the corner.
And then I splinted the tooth to stabilize it. And this was about 4 years ago, maybe even longer. And that tooth is still in her mouth perfectly fine.
What? It will reroot itself like into your bone?
It will reattach. The problem though, if you clean it too much, this is getting very technical and dental related, but there's fibers on the tooth that hold the tooth in the bone. If you disturb those fibers, and the tooth will attach to the bone improperly, we'll just say. And then you want to keep those fibers so it will attach the best way and it can function normally later in life.
Wow.
And teeth, the front and back kind of only goes in one way. Even if it's in the mouth, we can always adjust it and tweak it if it doesn't look like it's in right. But it's important to get it back in the mouth so the pH and everything stays as best as possible.
The exact timing could be off, but if the tooth is out of the mouth for like 5 minutes, it has a much worse chance of surviving than if it's only been 1 minute. And if it's 20 minutes, it's almost a goner.
Why don't we know this? We should know this.
I know. People know about the milk because that has a similar pH as our saliva. But I mean, if you're like on a soccer field or whatever, no one's got milk in their bag. So it's better to try to get it back in the mouth.
What are some healthy snacks for cavity prevention? I would love to know some options if there are any. And then also, what if they're lactose intolerant or they don't like fruits and vegetables?
Okay.
Kids are so insane.
I know.
So you want to try and stay away from snacks that are chewy and sticky that linger on the teeth.
Gummies.
Right? That just means sugar on the teeth for a longer period of time. And even snacks you may not think of. For example, like Goldfish crackers. They form a paste with your saliva that gets stuck in the grooves of your teeth. So I'll have kids come in and I'll say, oh, did you just eat crackers, like Goldfish crackers? And I can kind of guess what they just ate because it just stays in the grooves of the teeth.
And then even if they're the organic brand, like it doesn't matter that they're,
Annie's,
you know, like Annie's.
Right. I always tell you,
doesn't make it better, matter. Right? Yeah, right. Organic sugar is still sugar.
Yeah,
it's still a carb.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Nuts are good because it's fat and protein. So if they can eat nuts, that is helpful. Fresh fruit is the most ideal. Freeze-dried is next. Sometimes kids like those. The dried fruit is by far our least favorite.
They have amazing dairy-free options of yogurt packets now.
Correct.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
Yes.
So if you're going to like snacking things, it's better to have like a puff, a Cheerio, a Booty, a Bomba, like the dissolved veggie stick. Those dissolve more than what Michael mentioned about like a cracker.
And wash it down with water, not lemonade or apple juice.
What about the passies, the thumb sucking? Both my kids are thumb suckers. I'm so grateful that my kids can self-soothe like crazy and they are incredible sleepers. And I've also just sort of accepted they're screwed. They're going to need braces anyway.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Right.
So that's what that is. And he's only going to quit probably when he starts having sleepovers and he's like embarrassed. But do you recommend to people to like, try to get them to quit at a certain age?
Pacifier, thumb, a lovey, anything that's in the mouth for an extended period of time that you're sucking on can cause distortions of the teeth and jaws. All right. Typically, it can be any combination of three things. Teeth get pushed up vertically. So you have like an open biter, and then teeth get pulled out horizontally, which is like the buck tooth kind of appearance, or it can cause a narrowness of the upper jaw where the top teeth get squeezed and pushed in. Okay.
Like when you suck, right?
Yeah.
The vertical component will self-correct at any age, whether you stop at 2, 4, 5, it does not make a difference. Take away the object, the teeth will just grow back down like with gravity, and that part will self-correct. The other two parts will be corrected with braces. Everything is correctable. You're not causing any permanent damage by sucking your thumb or pacifier for an extended period of time. Therefore, I always say to my patients, let it continue and it will stop when the child's ready. On average, a pacifier child will stop around 4-ish and the thumb sucker will stop around 8.
Okay, so now I'm going to self-disclose. So both our kids were pacifier babies. Our older son read the book at 4 years and 1 month because we're like our birthdays are 1 month apart. So for my birthday present, he fell asleep one night without the pacifier. One thing to backtrack for fingers, thumbs, I mean, they need you as a parent, so you're not cutting their fingers off. So so that's gonna die when you're like you'll drizzle out when it does. But for an external object, like a pacifier or a lovey or something, you can take it away. So we kind of limited for our kids at certain times as they got older to the quote unquote needing it kind of in the car or for sleep. They didn't need to have it walking around the house with it hanging out of their head. And you don't want it to interrupt their speech development. So our first son had what Michael mentioned, where the upper teeth look shorter. And once we took the pacifier at 4, it grew down and self-corrected. And our younger son didn't read the book, and he had his
classic
pacifier.
Second child.
Yeah. 5 3/4. So he was about to enter kindergarten. At that age, I'm like, you need to be responsible. It was his baba. You need to be responsible for your baba. And he couldn't find it one day. So I'm like, it's over, David. Like, if it was that important to you,
you wouldn't have lost it.
You're 5 3/4, bud. You're old enough to give it up.
But the funny thing is that he was looking, we used to keep it like in the drying rack in the sink. And his older brother, right, they're 2.5 years apart, was like, oh, I saw one in the kitchen sink. And David goes running for it the next morning. He can't find it. And then he calls me at work.
And
I did everything to not want to run to the drugstore to buy another pacifier because he's crying.
Course.
He wants his baba.
Oh,
he
my God,
his baba.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You stayed strong.
That's one thing with parents. You asked about the advice. So it's the family's decision if they want to pull it. If they walk in and say, at 2, we're taking it away, I'm not going to say no. But the only thing I say is that every single person who's taking care of the child, all of the child's primary caregivers need to be on the same page. Because it is really confusing. If grandma, you know, watches the kids for X hours of the day and the kids work it, they know grandma lets me still have the pacifier. And then mom comes home, you're going to get a vicious cycle.
I remember one of the girls I used to nanny for before I was able to pay my bills just from acting. But I used to babysit for a girl. And when her parents decided, like, you know, it's time, we're going to be done with her whoopee or whatever she called it. I don't know. And we all went to Disneyland and she took all of her pacifiers and put them in a Ziploc baggie and walked up to Minnie Mouse. And she had to say goodbye. And then for the next 3 nights, I said, no, you remember you gave them, you know, she's like, where are they? Where are they? And you're like, we gave them all to Minnie Mouse. She's going to give them to another little boy or a little girl who needs them, is going to take care of them. And it was a rough, like, couple of days, but she made it through.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Flossing. Not doing it over. I mean, I floss twice a day. I love flossing. My children, who in hell is able to floss their kids' teeth once a day. Who is doing that? And give them all the awards. Like, are people really yes. doing this? Do you actually have clients whose four-year-olds and five-year-olds are flossing daily?
Probably not, to be honest. Are they telling me that they are? Maybe.
Sure, right? I'm sure
I'm being told that.
And I have the nunchucks. I have all right. the things that Amazon provides.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. However, it's one of those things where if you're flossing age, if a child's flossing at age four, they'll be flossing at age 24. So you want to establish those habits early, but it's a difficult habit to do and get into. So what a lot of times I'll tell parents is just start with the front teeth. Do the easy ones. You're not going to run a marathon on day one. So just floss like the top four front teeth first and just do those. And then introduce more later down the road. And then eventually you can get to everything. But if you take little steps, it's definitely much more manageable.
On the same subject, Waterpik versus dental floss.
The Waterpik brand has the American Dental Association seal that there's been research where they're just as effective as traditional flossing. And a Waterpik, we have found, helps a lot, especially when you start getting hardware in the mouth, like braces or those Invisalign buttons and things. Some kids, that could be fun. And spitting out in the sink is novel, and they think that might be the coolest thing ever, and they can spit on the mirror and, you know, all right. the above. And then some, it's like way too much all at once. Earlier, you mentioned like some people use gauze, some people use toothbrushes, you know, and brushing the kids' teeth. It's all the above is correct. Because every child is different. And one child, for 1 month, this feels great. And then the next month, they hate that again. So you need to have a lot of tools in your toolbox when you're caring for your kids' teeth.
Any other dental hygiene tips for parents who are listening that I have left out?
Yeah. So for the real little ones, right? So your two-year-old that doesn't want to brush. And I've heard Jill say this, and I stole this from you, so I'll give you credit. There's nothing magical about the bathroom. Right? So you don't have to be in the bathroom to brush your two-year-old's teeth. First of all, they can't spit the toothpaste out. They're just too young, right? So you don't have to be near the sink. You can do it on the couch, in the kitchen, in the bedroom. So just find a comfortable spot to brush their teeth instead of making it a fight to be in the bathroom. The other thing I recommend is put their head in your lap. So sit on the floor, the couch, the bed. Lie your child down. And with their head lying in your lap, it almost mimics how a dentist would work. You can see better. If necessary, you can take the lips and kind of pull them out of the way with your other hand. You just have it better visually versus facing your child and like stabbing at them with a toothbrush or standing on the side of them and brushing from the side. So you can't see the back teeth if you're brushing from the side, right? And their head's bobbing around and moving. So get their head stable, look straight into the mouth, and it still may only be 5 or 10 seconds of brushing time that they'll give you, but it'll be a better 5 or 10 seconds than in the other positions.
And I also think, like two toothbrushes, because when they're around that 18 months to three, like I do it myself, everything. So let them suck and brush their back teeth and gnaw on it. And when they gnaw on the toothbrush, they're going to wipe the food from the back molars, where the flat part where you chew your food. But the gum line is usually where the kids miss, because they're not going to put the toothbrush half on their teeth and half on their gums. And that's when you can take a finger. And even if they don't want to, they pierce their lips, you can still move your pointer finger and wipe the plaque out from the gum line, and they can keep their mouth closed, but you can still like wipe like you get something off their face. Do that scratching motion.
Because my kids chew on their toothbrushes so much, I'm going through toothbrushes. I've never seen toothbrushes this mangled within, I want to say there's a 2 week, 2-3 week shelf life. I should be buying them in bulk because it's just ridiculous. And at first I had the ones with all the bells and whistles and the lighting up and the this, that, and the other thing. And now we go through them so much. Do you recommend a electric toothbrush for little ones, or just the regular baby bristle, like Crayola has them, those ones? What do you recommend?
I usually recommend whatever the child wants to use. So one day it might be electric, next day it might be the finger brush. So you just have to go with the flow. I wouldn't spend $50 on a Sonicare toothbrush for a two-year-old. The little $10 or $11 one in the drugstore, that's fine to use. But you just have to go with the flow.
It's unbelievable. So what's the general rule on the fluoride, no fluoride, while we're here, Jill?
That's an interesting topic. So the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry says as soon as there is a tooth that you should be having a little smear, like a little small amount of fluoride toothpaste. So in where we practice, Los Angeles is fluoridated. So the children are swallowing fluoride. So they're getting the benefits of the fluoride being incorporated
in the water.
Water, and they're getting their developing teeth and bones. Because for us, when we brush our teeth, we brush with fluoride, we spit it out. So it all stays topical. It all stays like lotion. But for little ones, because they're swallowing, it's like they're swallowing a pill. So in our practice, unless a child really is a high risk for decay, we recommend fluoride free until they can spit. Because they're still getting the benefits of the swallowed fluoride just from living in Los Angeles.
So while I have you with my 2-year-old, and obviously she's at risk because her brother is Mr. Cavity Man, should she be with fluoride? She can't spit yet, but she doesn't like it. She likes the spry toothpaste. And when I try to give her a little bit of fluoride, I try to, like, how about a few times this week we do fluoride? She's like, don't like it.
You don't know where she's going to fall. My sister had a mouthful of cavities. Like I said, I never had any. Just because they're sibling doesn't mean they're the same. It also depends if the 2-year-old has those second molars. And it depends if there's spacing between the molars.
So if there's no spacing in the molars, do you run a little bit more high risk for bacteria growing in there and it's spreading to 2 teeth? Guys, we've learned so much today. I'm ready to go to dental school.
But to answer your question more, you can maybe mix the two. Put a dab of fluoride toothpaste on the bottom, put the spray on top, hide it. You can try that.
See?
It's like those veggies in the spaghetti sauce, right?
That's right. The veggies, the spinach in the shake.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Strawberries and blueberries and pineapple. And you're like, I swear, there's no green in here. There's no green in here. Okay, so questions we ask everybody, if you can even remember. Was there anything on your baby shower, if you had one or two or a sprinkle, registry item that you couldn't live without? I know that is.
A long time ago. Registry thing, I think.
Little play bouncy things, all they can sit
in. I think the sit.
Yeah,
the little,
that's
like the sling thing. So I could take a shower and I could, so I could actually watch them.
They put that little chair bouncer.
That little chair thing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that it's amazing. Bjorn has one that's sick.
Okay, so that was definitely something because they were in one place and I knew that they were somewhat entertained and I could watch them.
So good. What advice would you like to give to your children as they get closer to their, when is their next birthdays? How old are they turning?
18 and 21. I know.
Yes.
What?
I can't believe I didn't. Well, yeah, 18 in September.
Those are milestone birthdays. Yes.
That's right.
They're both milestones this year.
Correct.
That is huge milestone birthdays. Is there any thought on what advice you would give to them?
I think don't be I have so many. Well, that's a whole other session.
We give them advice once in college, Jack, remember,
I think to treasure friendships, push yourself both professionally and personally to try new things and just take your moments in. Aww. Yeah, take the moments in.
I really love that.
I'd probably say along the lines of trying new things, that you don't regret the things you tried, only the things you never tried.
Amen. And by the way, we could all take that advice.
Oh, yes. Right?
And
yes.
I'm turning 41 at some point. Yeah. That's what that is. This is a sentence. So you can both answer this. This is always our wrap-up question. Finish this sentence. Parenthood is?
It's phases, good and bad, and they all end. Not one will be forever.
We need to remind ourselves of this. Even the freak-out phase that my son was going to have 8 or 9 cavities filled. I think it was 9 cavities filled at one time. We got through it, and we were on to the next, you know?
Right.
I'm so appreciative of you taking the time, and I'm just so grateful that we get to be in your care. I really think that this is so important. When you have a newborn or you have a baby, people don't really know when they're supposed to do it and what they're supposed to be doing with teeth. And so this really debunked a lot of myths and ideas and got into the facts, and it was very helpful giving us the information. So thank you so much for your time, Dr. Jill Lasky and Dr. Michael Lasky. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Questions, comments, concerns? Let me know. You can always find me at katiescrib@shondaland.com.
Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.